Welcome back to the Psalms, everyone. Psalm 62 is a wisdom psalm, the sort of tried and true wisdom that helps you weather the storm and anchor your faith. Now, the genre confused me at first. At parts, I thought lament, and at others, praise. But the conclusion here is like something straight out of Proverbs. David speaks truth, hard-earned by faith and perseverance. Let's dive in at verse 1. Truly, my soul finds rest in God. My salvation comes from Him. Truly, He is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will never be shaken. David opens with a proclamation of truth. Truly, my soul finds rest in God. Other translations have it, my soul waits silently for God. And the idea is all of that, waiting, silent, a soul at rest. David's words are confident, contented, no striving. I can't save myself because salvation comes from Him. The word truly underscores his confidence. Truly, He is my rock. David stands on that rock. He is safe in that fortress, safe in God. He will never be shaken. How we long for that same confidence, that unshakable faith. And perhaps that's why the psalm is here, to help us find it. Now, at first glance, the next two verses appear to contradict that confidence. But read carefully. Verse 3. How long will you assault me? Would all of you throw me down, this leaning wall, this tottering fence? That sounds like David's typical lament. Is he so quickly broken? But look, there is no complaint, no sorrow, only questioning. David challenges the assailants who keep trying to take him down because they can't take him down. He knows how they see him. They see David as a leaning wall. One good shove could knock him over, a tottering fence. And in his own strength, they may be right. Who is David against all that comes against him? And who are you? Who am I? In verse 4, surely they intend to topple me from my lofty place. They take delight in lies. With their mouths they bless, but in their hearts they curse. David sees their intentions. He sees through their empty blessings, their duplicitous words of feigned kindness. But he's not shaken. He challenges his attackers from a place of firm footing upon his rock. He asks how long, because he knows it won't work. It will never work. He may be a tottering fence, but it's not about him. So in verse 5, he turns from his enemies to speak to himself. Yes, my soul, find rest in God. My hope comes from Him. Truly, He is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will not be shaken. And there again is the chorus. He knows it to be true, but he sings it to his own soul. Wait quietly. Find rest, and find it in God. Hope is found in God. My rock, my salvation, my fortress, I will not be shaken. Verse 7. My salvation and my honor depend on God. He is my mighty rock, my refuge. Notice the contrast between what they see when they look at David and what David sees. They see insecurity, vulnerability. He sees dependence upon one so strong and mighty that his own strength doesn't matter. Immaterial. Try to destroy me? God is my salvation. Dishonor me? My honor depends on Him, not you. Depend is the key word there. That's what a rock and fortress are for. It's not enough to simply know about them. We have to put our weight on them, to put our trust in God. And in verse 8, David turns. He said his peace to the attackers. He spoke his encouragement to his soul. Now he speaks to the world and to us. Verse 8, trust in Him at all times, you people. Pour out your hearts to Him, for God is our refuge. David has found his rock, and he's found it faithful, so he shares it. To us, he declares God's faithfulness and calls upon us to trust. And notice what that trust looks like, far deeper than a simple, hey God, I trust you. thanks for being there. No, David says, pour out your hearts to him. Just as Peter calls us to cast our cares upon him. That's what you do when you really trust someone. All of us hold our secrets close, guarded safely behind locked doors in the inmost parts of our heart. But when you find that rare friend that you can truly trust, you open up little by little. You bring down that guard and share. David calls us to trust God and pour out our hearts to him. God is our refuge, the safe place to let that guard rest and be fully ourselves. He won't topple us. Isaiah says, a bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out. Having called us to trust, David steps back and reflects. They saw him as a tottering fence. How often the strong try to prove their strength by exploiting the weak. But David sees through it, sees through the puffed-up strength of all men. Verse 9, surely the low-born are but a breath, the high-born are but a lie. If weighed on a balance, they are nothing. Together they are only a breath. David looks out upon all mankind. First are the low-born, here and gone like a breath, vanity. But then there are the high-born. They make a show of importance, of lasting glory and honor. Yet the high-born are but a lie. Put them on the scales of God's balance, and their weight comes to nothing. Recall from Ecclesiastes that glory and vanity are two ends of the spectrum on God's scales. Glory means weighty, lasting. Vanity is fleeting, temporary, like chasing the wind. David says that all mankind, highborn or low, is together but a breath. So be careful where you put your trust. Don't trust in the fleeting ambitions of people. In verse 10, do not trust in extortion or put vain hope in stolen goods. The key phrase there is vain hope. All the empty promises that wealth can offer, especially wealth the easy way, taking it by extortion and stealing. David says, don't trust it. Don't place your weight on it. Back in verse 10, though your riches increase, do not set your heart on them. Hey, it might work for a while. Greed works, and money piles up. And even if you make that money legitimately, legally, don't set your heart. Don't treasure it. It will deceive you. And without warning, the foundation that you put your weight on will suddenly give way. Money comes and money goes. God is my rock. He is my faithful refuge. All my trust is in him. And David concludes the psalm with a proverb, a bit of concise wisdom earned through trials, observation, and most importantly, listening to God. Verse 11, one thing God has spoken, two things I have heard. Power belongs to you, God, and with you, Lord, is unfailing love, and you reward everyone according to what they have done. Now, where to draw the lines between the first thing and the second, I'm not quite sure. There seems to be three. But maybe that's David's way of getting our attention. One thing God has spoken. David has been listening to God's word. And here, the words he hears are from God's covenant. Power belongs to you, God. He is the one who will keep his promises and keep his covenant. In stark contrast to all the vain hopes of worldly wealth and power, God is faithful. With him is unfailing love. The Hebrew there is that amazing word, hesed, God's covenant love and faithfulness. And that final promise in verse 12, God rewards. For all the chasing after easy money and flexing strength by oppressing the weak, the people who chase them find no reward. Nothing that lasts. But God rewards. Some might be tempted to think that God asks us not to seek rewards. True, God asks us to let go of selfish ambition, but Jesus speaks many times of God's rewards, and his rewards are not vanity, but glory. In his classic work, The Weight of Glory, C.S. Lewis explains it like this. It would seem that our Lord finds our desires not too strong, but too weak. We are half-hearted creatures, fooling about with drink and sex and ambition when infinite joy is offered us. Like an ignorant child who wants to go on making mud pies in a slum because he cannot imagine what is meant by the offer of a holiday at sea. We are far too easily pleased. Read Psalm 62. Find rest in God. Wait silently upon him and know that he is truly your rock and that he rewards everyone according to what they have done.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word.